Praise the Lord. Turn to the person next to you and say, you made it.
Yeah.
You're at church today. Come on. Say hello to somebody. You can go ahead and take your seat. Hallelujah. Like Pastor Nancy said, Pastors Mark and Brenda are ministering in Arkansas, right? Arizona, sorry, wrong spot. They're ministering in Arizona today. Pastor Mark and Brenda, thank you so much for trusting me to minister to these amazing people today. You know, Pastor Mark has been speaking on the spirit of faith, right? He's been speaking on the spirit of faith for the last 4 weeks, actually. It's a really big topic. And I want to go ahead and kind of piggyback on that a bit. And I want to jump into some of the things that Pastor Mark spoke on and maybe share a little bit from another perspective as well. So, Father God, we come to you in faith in Jesus' name today, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your name. Thank you, Lord God, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there with them. We thank you for your presence that is here with us today. Hallelujah. We invite you, faithful God, have your way in this place. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And Lord, let us be doers of your word from what we hear today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I had y'all greet each other and say you made it today because, you know, it could be pretty hard getting to church sometime. You know, has anybody ever experienced you want to go to church and then everything just starts going wrong and then there's drama in that household, there's drama in the car on the way to church, there's so many things that you need to do and you're thinking, man, do I really need to go to church today? Maybe I should stay home and do something else and I'll just put it on the TV in the background. No offense to those of you online. But you know what you are. You are the church of God. Amen. You are the iglesia, the called out ones. And when we gather together, that is church, right? Church is not this building. Church is when the children of God, they come together in the name of Jesus to worship God together and to grow together. Amen. You know, in 1 Timothy, it says that you are the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth in the world. Amen. That's what the Word of God says about you. I believe it's 1 Timothy 3:15, that the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth in the world. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, speaking of the church to come, he says that you are the salt of the earth. And he says this about you. You are the light of the world. Amen. Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But in Matthew 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light of the world. You know, we are not meant to blend in. As the children of God, we should stand out. We should live different. We should think different. We should talk different and act different. Amen. Because the Bible also says that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. We are in this world, but we are not of this world, right? We represent another kingdom. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? And you know what? This kingdom that is growing, the Bible says the expansion of this kingdom, it will never end. It's going to go on forever and ever. Every kingdom in history has risen and fallen, but the kingdom of God will remain forever. Amen? Amen. And a key thing that separates us from the world is this spirit of faith. Amen. Is this spirit of faith that we are meant to have, that we are meant to walk in and live in. So Claire, could you pull up 2 Corinthians 4:13 for us? This has been our text for a while. Our key text with Pastor Mark, 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We believe and then we speak. You know, that's actually the way you were saved. That's the way you came to Jesus. That's the way the greatest miracle of all happens. When you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the way you're saved. And that's actually the way we're meant to live and to walk. Amen. To believe in our heart. And to speak with our mouth and to live out what we say we believe. We are the church of God and we're meant to do things in a different way. And so in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, I believe. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. I'm throwing some new scriptures at her today. You can do that in the NIV. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Thank you, Claire. All right, NIV, there it is. Listen to this. It says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." Listen. "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Amen. Now, what's it talking about when it's saying the world there? It's saying this whole world system. It's saying this fallen earth that we all were born into. From the time of Adam and Eve, when sin was entered into the world, this earth has been cursed and it has fallen. And we're living in this system that has pressure on us, and there's all these different ways of thinking that do not align to the ways of God. There are strongholds set up in spiritual places that we need to overcome. And that scripture up there says the faith that we have overcomes the world. Go ahead and go to the next verse. It says, "Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Those are the only ones that overcome. But everyone born of God, everyone who puts their faith in Jesus and puts their hope in Him, they overcome the world through faith. We are meant to overcome the world. We're not meant to be crushed by what this world is doing around us. Right? So I have 4 points for you today for people who like to take notes. And today we're going to talk about think like God. Thinking like God. Do you know the Bible says that you were predestined to be conformed to the likeness of God's Son? That's in Romans chapter 8. In 1 John, it says that anybody who claims to be in Him, Jesus, must walk as Jesus did. You are meant to live like Jesus. You're meant to think like Jesus. You're meant to think like God. The problem is, we grew up in this world system and we're learning about a whole lot of different ways to think. And there's things that are manipulating our minds, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But first I want to emphasize, God is inviting us to think like Him. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. This is God talking to the people, and He says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine." Go ahead to the next verse. It says, "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Does anybody know God's thoughts are higher? Do you know that God spoke and created the universe? That He upholds all things by the word of His power? God is wise, and He is just, and He is righteous. And guess what? He does not only have love, God is love. And God is saying, look it, I know you think you're smart. Maybe you've been alive for a little while, or maybe you went to school, or maybe you went through the school of hard knocks. But He's saying, my ways are higher. He's saying, my thoughts are higher. So much higher than yours. They're nothing like yours. They go far beyond. But He is inviting us to think like Him. And look at this, Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of you are used to this verse. But it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." How many of you want to know what God thinks towards you? Now listen, His thoughts are not for evil. "I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." Let me tell you something. You might be hard on yourself, but God is not hard on you. If you spend all your time criticizing yourself, you're not aligning your mind to the way that God's thinking. You might be thinking like somebody else called the accuser. But God, whose thoughts are higher and whose ways are higher, He's saying, I want to invite you to think like Me. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and He died for you, He could have just washed you clean from your sin, and that could have been it. But He did so much more. He said, no, I'm calling them My own. I want to adopt them into My family. I want them to be known as the sons and the daughters of God. I'm inviting them in, and I want them to be one with Me and Me one with them. And I will pour out My Spirit upon them, and I want to live inside of them. This is the God that we serve. He is not God far away. He is closer than your skin. He's deeper than your soul, in your spirit that's been born again. We serve Christ in you, the hope of glory. Religion puts God far away. But God said, no, I'm going to dwell within them. And I'm going to lead and guide them into all truth. I want them to know me, not to just know the letter. I want them to know the Spirit. I want them to have the fellowship of my Spirit inside of them. And I want to change the whole way that they think so they can live like Jesus upon the earth. Amen. We are meant to live like Jesus. The Bible says that you smell like him, actually. Do you know the Bible says you smell like him? The Bible says that we are the fragrance of Christ in the world. It says to those that are being saved, we are the fragrance of life. But for those that are perishing, we're the fragrance of death. You know, some people who are living in the world, they might not like you and they don't even know why. There's just something about you that stinks to them and they can't stand it. But for those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, those that are seeking the truth, they go, what's that aroma? Man, that smells like a Christian. That smells like a child of God right there. Amen. Amen. You're going to recognize it. Some people are just going to like you a lot and they don't even know why. And other people are just going to be offended because you're breathing. What is going on here? So that was the first point right there. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So go ahead and jot that down if you're taking some notes. The second point is the enemy always questions and seeks to distort the truth. He always does. That's his MO. That's what he is known for. The enemy. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Just seeing if you're paying attention. We'll look at this in the NIV. All right. It says, now the serpent. Who's the serpent? That's the enemy, right? That represents the devil. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, this is when Eve is over there hanging out at the tree that she shouldn't be hanging around. And where's Adam at? I don't know. But it says, he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You see, right here, you see, he's already twisting. For one, he's questioning what God has said. And then he's actually twisting it. You can't eat from any tree, right? I can't do anything. If y'all have had kids, you understand they just blow everything up. And if they can't do what they want, they can't do anything. But here's the enemy right there. And the enemy is saying, did God say you can't eat from any tree? He's already twisting it. And Eve goes, no, we can eat. We can eat from every tree, actually. Just not the one you're in, actually. But that's how the enemy shows up every time. To kind of try to come and distort the truth. To distort the image of God. He wants us to be so confused in our minds that we even question, is God even real? Does he exist? And if he is real, does he really love me? You know what? I bet, you know, God loves everybody, but I don't know if God loves me. You know, oh man, well, look at my life. If God loved me, why would this happen? And why would that happen? God must be mad at me, or God must be angry at me. Or maybe it's not this God. Maybe it's all these other gods. Maybe I'll set up a statue and put gold on it and worship that. The enemy gets in people's minds and he twists the way that they think. And he tries to give us a twisted image of God. And if we yield to his thoughts and we yield to his ways, we're going to be confused. When we yield to his criticism, when we listen to his lies as he is whispering. Let me tell you something. We know the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Right? But he can't do it on his own. Because guess what? If he could, you wouldn't be here. All right? The enemy accomplishes his will through people. He does it by getting people twisted in their minds and their emotions, and he manipulates and controls and forces, and people yield to the enemy. I'll tell you something else that might be interesting. You know, for God's will to be done in the earth, he doesn't just cause it to happen and make it happen. Do you know who he uses? He uses us. He uses the pillar and foundation of the truth in the world. He uses the church to accomplish his will. So you have the will of God that he wants to see done in the earth, but he is calling on us to yield to the way that he thinks and to do things the way that he does it. Amen. You have the will of the enemy who wants to twist you to get you to do what he wants to do. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He'll use you to hurt others. He'll use you to hurt yourself. And we need to choose, who are we going to think like? Who are we going to yield to? Are we going to yield to the truth, or will we yield to a lie? Check out 2 Corinthians 4:4. The enemy is called the God of this world. Remember, I told you we live in a fallen world. Ever since the time of Adam and Eve, when they sinned, when they rebelled against God, the enemy had become the God of this world, is what the Bible says. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They are blinded by the God of this world. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Keep going. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. We're talking about this world system, right? And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's the devil, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You see, this is why we do not battle against flesh and blood, right? The people that are doing all this crazy stuff, they've been manipulated by an enemy. Have you heard of the term gaslighting? Who's heard of that term gaslighting? I mean, it comes up in the news quite a bit, right? Gaslighting, we're like, are they talking about their fireplace? No, they're not talking about their fireplace. Let me share with you something. So this is the definition of gaslighting. Gaslighting. Victims of gaslighting are deliberately and systematically fed false information. So this is what people are hearing. See if this sounds like anyone, okay? Victims of gaslighting are deliberately and systematically fed false information that leads them to question what they know to be true. Often about themselves. They may end up doubting their memory, their perception, and even their sanity. Every time a gaslighter's manipulation can grow more complex and potent, making it increasingly difficult for the victim to see the truth. Gaslighting, it is purposefully and systematic lies being fed so that people believe the lie instead of the truth. Who does that sound like? Come on. That sounds like the devil right there. That's the deceiver. You know, Jesus said he's been a murderer and a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies and there is no truth in him. And he tries to gaslight society by feeding them a bunch of lies. You know, there's a lot of people, believe it or not, in the Bay Area who thinks Christians are hateful, bigoted people. You're every kind of phobic they could think of, every kind of hateful thing they could think of. But we are the children of light. We are the children of God and the children of love. And we are to represent Christ in the world. And they might be speaking their lies because they're listening to a liar. You see, and we don't want to jump in and try to overcome evil with evil. Is that what we do? No, we overcome evil with good. We are the children of God. We look past what their mouths are saying and the spirit that they, and the actions they're doing, and we look at the spirit they are operating in. And we have weapons of our warfare that are not of this world. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You see, when you see all this hateful stuff being said about you as a Christian, do not just look at that person who's saying it. You need to look beyond it. That's why Jesus is saying, I have called you to love your enemies, to bless those who curse you, and do good to those who spitefully misuse you. Does anybody know John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Now, when he's saying the world right there, he's not talking about the system, because that world system is under the control of the enemy. For God so loved the world, talking about the people of the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, right? That whoever would believe in him would not perish or die, but would have eternal life. God died for the world, for the people of the world. And he has called us to give our lives for the same purpose. So when you're hearing all this hate come your way, do not respond to hate with hate. It's like trying to fight darkness with darkness. Are you just going to throw more darkness in a room and try to fix it? No, we got to come and we are to be salt and light in the world. Amen? Amen. So the enemy always comes to distort and to lie and to twist the truth. Number three, we must be transformed to have the mind of God. We must be transformed because we were born into this world system around this whole society that's been gaslit, where they've been being fed lies. Maybe you grew up and it was the culture that you grew up in. Maybe it was the neighborhood or the school that you went to. Maybe it was the family that you were raised in. But somehow some lies started getting in there too. And you start to see, wow, the way that I'm thinking does not line up with the way that God thinks. So in Romans chapter 12, it says to no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Let's go ahead and pull that up, Claire, in the NLT, please. Romans 12:2. I'm using a different translation because I want us to think about it a little more. Sometimes we get so used to quoting something, we're not thinking a little more about it. It says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That you would know the will of God. God has actually made it available for us to know His will. And guess what? He gave you a manual to understand the will of God. And beyond that, God has poured out His Spirit inside of you. Amen? To lead and to guide you into all truth. To show us the way that God thinks. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, we can pull that up as well in the NLT. Colossians 2:8, it says, do not let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. You see, they capture you with empty philosophies. The philosophies of humanity, the philosophies of mankind, where they're just these heavy thinkers, that where they're so smart and they're just so amazingly brilliant that they can't define what a woman is. Come on. What is a woman? Well, you know, there's a spectrum, and we just, a woman is whoever decides. You know what? They're so smart, they get confused. They have these philosophies that they get all twisted in because there's an enemy in the world, and he takes things that are simple, and he makes them seem so complex. And then he takes things that are complex, and he makes them seem overly simple. But we serve a mighty God, and we have access to the truth. Amen? Not based on the philosophies of man, but based on the truth of the Word of God. No prophecy of Scripture ever came by someone's own intent. But holy people of old were carried along by the Holy Spirit when they wrote down these Scriptures. And people gave their lives so that we can have this Bible. People were burned at the stake so that you can have the Bible in your language and have it in your home. A huge price was paid, and let me tell you, it was worth it. Yes. They sowed their lives like a seed in the ground so that it could be multiplied in our lives. This Word of God that they died for, this Word of God that they gave themselves for, because they saw that it was worth their lives to give. This Word is able to save your soul. It's able to build you up. It's able to make you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at what it does in Ephesians chapter 5, 26. Look at what the Word of God does. It says, this is talking about Jesus and the church, and it says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Word. So we know Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride of Christ. And this is saying Jesus makes her holy and cleanses the bride of Christ, the church, us, by the washing with the water through the Word. When you go to your workplace sometimes, or you're just shopping in the store, or you're out in society, or you're listening to the radio, or you're watching Netflix, or you're scrolling through Instagram, or you're just somehow time traveling with TikTok. If anybody in here has used TikTok, you realize you're on there for 3 minutes and 4 hours went by, and you're like, how? How did that happen? It is a time machine and it only goes forward. You can't go back. And now your time is wasted. But as you're looking at all this stuff, then there's all this junk that just begins to be thrown at your mind. Okay? The music you're listening to. What are you listening to? What is it feeding? Is it stirring up anger inside of you? Right? Is it developing feelings of lust because all it is about the boom, boom, boom and everything? What are we listening to? What are we having go inside our ear gates? What are we looking at with our eye gates? What are we allowing into our soul? All that stuff starts to twist the way that we think. The enemy is trying to get in there with his philosophies, his deceptive philosophies. With the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. But then Jesus is saying, let me come and bring the washing. Let me come and bring the washing of the water of the word. Because things are starting to get dim to you. You're starting to feel heavy and weighed down and depressed. You're starting to look at things as if there is no hope and there is no way out. You're starting to see so many impossibilities. And we're starting to lose sight of, for those who believe, all things are possible for the ones who believe. We start losing sight of how great and how awesome our God is that we serve. We start looking at ourselves as just simple human beings. And not recognizing we are the sons and daughters of God. We are born of God. We are salt and light. And we are called to put on the armor of light. As we live in this world representing His kingdom. He will strengthen you with might by His Spirit in your inner being. He will take you farther than you ever thought you can go. Hallelujah. He will lead you to platforms. He will give you opportunity to speak into people's lives. All of us, not just the ones on the stage. Every one of us is called to be salt and light in the world where we live. And let me tell you, I bring this up in 180 youth group a lot. 180's in here today. Where am I 180 at? Come on, you guys. Woo, woo. 180 youth group. That when you're living around your friends, you are salt and light to them. That we represent Jesus here on the earth. And God will show you how to minister to the people around you. When you start living close to God, God's just going to open up the opportunity. Give you an opportunity to speak love to somebody, to share about the goodness of God, to share about Jesus. And what I tell the youth group a lot, I say, if you're bored being a Christian, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong because this is the most exciting lifestyle, and God will call you way past your comfort zone. He'll say, hey, Peter, why don't you go ahead and step out of the boat and walk on the water? And then on the word of God, you step out and you begin to do the impossible. Yeah. He will lead you so far beyond yourself. But unless you have your mind being washed with the water of the word, you're just going to think just like everybody else. Right. You're going to lose sight that we serve a God who is mighty in power and mighty to save. That greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And He will cause His glory and His power and His might to flow through you to minister to others. But we got to be transformed by taking time to meditate and to think on this word. If we want that spirit of faith operating us, we need to think on the word of God. There was a teacher at Rhema. His name's Doug Jones. Actually, I believe he's still there. And he would say this every day in his class. Doug Jones. He would say, let your Bible-based beliefs determine what you think, say, and do. Amen. Let your Bible-based beliefs, not what my culture does, not what my friends do, not what they do over here or what they do over there, not what Republicans do or Democrats do. I am defined by the truth. And so, if I see things in society or I see things in the way that I have acted, in the way that I'm thinking, that does not line up with the truth, then I gotta say no to it. I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm not gonna criticize myself or tear myself down. I'm gonna think the way that God thinks. I'm not gonna talk about my spouse, everything that I think and what I feel. I'm gonna say over them what the Word of God says. I'm gonna speak life. I'm going to speak hope. I'm going to speak the truth of the Word of God. Amen. 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 Faith goes beyond belief. And James talks about this. It is the whole of our confidence. When our whole confidence and hope are in Jesus, we submit our will to His. framing our lives around what is pleasing to God. Faith is not just, I believe in God. James says, even the demons say that and shudder. Faith goes beyond belief. Faith calls you to action. The whole of my hope and my confidence is completely based upon Him. Amen. And if I say that, then I need to know what is the will of God. What does God say? How does God think? Because He wants us to think the same way. And we could get into that by meditating on the Word of God. So did I say point number three? Did I say what that was? Yeah, okay. So point number four is meditating and speaking God's word will cause you to think like God. Look at John chapter 6, verse 63. Did you know there were 63 verses in this chapter? It is the Spirit, this is Jesus talking. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. When you are taking in the word of God, the Bible says the entrance of His word is light. When you are taking in His word, you are getting access to the mind of God. And His spirit is filling you, bearing witness with your spirit. Amen. Go to Romans 8:6, please. Romans 8:6. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Listen to this. But the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Jesus' words are spirit and life, and the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The spirit and the word agree. When we get into the word of God and we set time apart, then we will begin to discern more what the will of God is. You see, the word of God, the written word, is the general will of God. Amen. This is in general. But it's not going to tell you where to move to, what church to go to. Is it a good idea to date that person? It's not going to give you specific things on what's going on in your children's lives. This is general. This is overall. General will of God. But as you fellowship with the Word and you take in the Word of God, you become sensitive to His Spirit. I'll tell you this. When you are not just reading the Word and thinking about it, but when you do it. It is when you do the word that you are showing honor and respect for what God has said. And when you honor Him, guess what? He honors you. If you honor His written word, then He will speak to you personally by His Spirit. And the more you walk in obedience to that leading of the Spirit, a lot of times it just sounds like your conscience. Don't do that. No, that's not right. Or I want you to do this. And when your answer is yes, no matter what, my answer is yes to you, Lord. Then you develop a sensitivity to the Spirit of God where now you're understanding the general will, but the Spirit shows you the specifics. Shows you, don't date that person. Don't even give him the time of day. I don't care how cute he is or what she looks like. You need to stay away. Amen. Right? The Spirit of God will show you, this is good. He'll show you, this is what's going on in your kids' lives. He'll give you insight beyond what you can see. Amen. He'll show you those that are coming against you and attacking you. He'll show you what's beneath the surface of that. Maybe it's something that you speak to directly. Maybe it's something you just pray about. God will give you insight into specifics by the Spirit who lives inside of you. And that's when life starts getting really fun, you guys. Let me talk to you a little bit about what it was like being a healing technician at Rhema. So I went to Rhema in 2007. I thought I was going to be there for 2 years. Was there for almost 12 years, actually, in Oklahoma. Amen. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. Amen. And so after I graduated from Rhema, after school, while I was at Rhema, I would go to something called prayer school in the afternoon. And then I would see they would invite certain people to get up and to speak. And they were called healing technicians. And I had learned that Keith Moore was, I think, part of the first group of healing technicians. And I had learned about Keith Moore before I even went to Rhema. And I really honor and respect this man of God. And so I was thinking, okay, when I graduate, the Lord had shown me I'm going to continue with schooling. I'm going to get a degree in business. And so while I was doing that, I applied to be a healing technician in their prayer and healing center. And they never got back to me. I'm thinking, oh man, I thought God led me to be a healing technician. And I'm thinking, ah man, I really wanted to do that. And then I get a phone call one day. Miss Jane calls me up and she goes, hey Caleb, where are you? I'm at home. I'm just hanging out in my apartment. Well, why aren't you here? At the Prayer and Healing Center? Yeah, where are you at? I'm like, am I a healing tech? Am I invited on? She said, yeah, you're supposed to come. We told you a while ago. I'm like, believe me, I would have known if you would have called me, but I will be there. And so excited to become a healing technician. And the Prayer and Healing Center, it's a pretty amazing place. I feel like it's like the Navy SEALs of those who went to Rhema. It was, maybe I'm biased a little bit, but it was really cool being over there. And we're having people come to the Prayer and Healing Center, and they're coming with terminal diseases. They're coming with chronic pain. They're coming, no doctor can help them. And they're coming as their last resort, a lot of them. And they're coming over here, and a lot of the people that are coming, they've been in the Word of Faith longer than I've been alive. And they're coming over here, and they've heard the Word, but somehow things are not connecting, right? They know the promise for healing, and yet they're not receiving. And they're like, what's going on? And before I ever became a healing technician, people were coming there, and then for a while, during a certain season, when people would go, they were just having a lot of people not get healed. A lot of people were dying, even when they were going there. And so the leadership of the Prayer and Healing Center, they said, you guys, we got to change things up, all right? Because we are not seeing the results that we're supposed to see. So they began to seek God, and then what they decided they're going to do now to change things up is they developed a healing tech manual. But you know what it was? Just a ton of scripture. Just scripture in there and various translation, but it was pretty much the whole thing is just healing scriptures. And scriptures to speak about what we can do through Christ and through faith in Christ, right? What is His exceedingly great power towards us who believe? And what they begin to do is they change things up by they say, before we minister to the people, we're going to meditate on the Word of God. We got to wrap our minds around this because we're seeing the problems too big. We're seeing the problems too difficult. We need to get the mind of God on what's going on. And we need to think of ourselves in terms and frame it with the Word of God. And we need to think of the problem framed with the Word of God. And so they begin to meditate. And so when I came on, that was one of the main things they teach the new healing technicians, is how to meditate. When they begin to put this into practice, they started seeing person after person get healed. It was the same word. The same word that they had heard, but there's a fellowship that happens with the Word of God when you meditate upon it. When you take it in, and it's not just reading past it just to get my scripture in today, but when you're taking time to speak it out of your own mouth, to mull it over and to think, okay, God, this is what your word says. Now, what are all the implications of that word? This is what your word says. What does that mean in my life? What does that mean in this person's situation? And we would take time to meditate on the Word of God before we'd go and minister to the people one-on-one. And there's a group of us sitting in a circle. We choose a scripture out of our healing tech manual, and then we just go. And we start looking into it. And as we're looking at this Word, all of us in a group, I mean, it is just going around in a circle. One person starts, and the next person goes, the next person goes. I mean, when it gets a couple minutes into it, you feel like you could just jump up and start shouting. Because the Word is just coming so alive inside of you. You're like, yes, that's what the Word says. Hallelujah. Amen. When I lay hands on the sick, I make them well in Jesus' name. No sickness, no disease can stand before me because I walk in the Spirit and the life of God. I take authority over everything that does not line up with the Word. I'm a child of God. I reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus. And no sickness and disease can stand in my presence. I lay hands on the sick and I make them well in Jesus' name. And we're saying, let me at them. Come on. Let's go. I know the voice of my shepherd. The voice of a stranger I will not follow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know what the issue is. You know what's going on. You know where the connection's missing. Holy Spirit, show us. Thank you. We have the answer. We have an unction from the Holy Spirit, and we know all things. The Holy Spirit speaks to us so that we can know the will of God. Thank you, Lord. We know your will, and we're going to minister life and healing to this person. When we meet with them, we have answers. We are led by the Spirit. We know every time. Thank you, God. We're going to see healing today. We're going to see life today. We're going to see the glory of God. We would get fired up in His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So this one day, we're going in and we're meditating on the Word of God. And we come into the room and we meet this man. And this man, very low mobility, just very stiff as he's walking around, goes and sits down. He's not an old man. He's probably in his 30s, maybe 40s. And just very stiff. Hello, sir. Can you tell us about what's going on? What happened? Well, he was actually, I don't know if he went to Rhema, but he went through some sort of Bible training. He was actually planning on starting a ministry. And before things launch, he's riding a horse. And he falls off the horse, and the 1,500-pound horse rolls over his body and crushes him. This happened 3 or 4 years before. Crushes him. And so he's telling us what happened. And it is like, you could see this guy is, he is stern. He is stiff. He is frustrated and irritated. I don't think he wanted to be there. I think his wife sent him. He's there and he's, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. And so by the Spirit of God, we begin to get words of knowledge. That's where the Spirit of God shows you something that there's no way that you could know. And the Spirit of God began to show of this bitterness that had risen up inside of him. He was so mad, so angry at what had happened. This is years later now, still struggling with pain and low mobility. And as we begin to speak to that, and by the Spirit of God, I don't remember what was said, so I don't want to make up a story, but we're just speaking to him. The Holy Spirit is showing us what's going on, and as we're speaking to it, things just begin to fall off in his soul. A lot of times we'd have to minister to the soul before we could minister to the body. Because the enemy gets in there to twist, right? He gets in there to warp. I'll tell you this, we would meet a lot of people, and we would recognize when we share the healing scriptures with them, they would be frustrated. I know that. I know that already. I've heard that. Yeah, I know. Okay, they know it. They're still struggling with what's going on in their body. And this was not about finding fault, but it was, if when you hear the word of God about your situation and you are frustrated, then you're not in a place of faith yet. Okay? It just shows you're just not there yet. Right? When you're in a place of prayer or there's something going on in your life and you don't have faith, you don't have peace and you don't have joy, then you're not in that place of faith yet. Okay? It's not fault finding. It's kind of recognizing what's going on in my soul. And you, when that's going on, when you hear the promises of God and the good things of his word about your life situation, and you're not excited about it, then you just got to get in here and you got to meditate. Amen. Lord, this is what your word says. God, you are true. Let God be true, and let every man, let every symptom, let every circumstance be a lie. Let your word stand firm in my life, God. So if you're frustrated standing on the promise, you're not in a place of faith yet, but you can get there. So as we're ministering to this man's soul, that's what we did on the first day. We have him for 3 days. On the first day, it was all about dealing with the heart by the Spirit of God. Just things coming up, speaking to it. Yeah, that's true. Wow, yeah, that's what I'm dealing with. Well, let's give that to God. Let's lay it down. So he leaves, still stiff. No. Comes back the next day. We're like, hey, how you doing today? He said, you know what? My wife says she feels like she got her husband back. So things had fallen off. Now we already see the marriage being restored. Praise God. And so we said, okay, well, we're going to take it deeper today. So we began to minister to the guy and we lay hands on him, standing on the word of God, on the scriptures that you know regarding healing. And we're like, these are the scriptures. This is the truth. We're going to lay hands on you and the life of God is going to go into your body. And he goes, okay. So we do it. And we said, go ahead and do something you couldn't do before. He goes, if I was ever on my knees, if I wanted to get up, I had to crawl over to a table or to a doorknob and pull myself up. I couldn't get up from my knees. And so we said, well, here we go. So he gets down like this. And he goes, I stood up, you know. It wasn't like anything. He didn't even know anything had happened yet. He goes, hold on, let me do it again. He does this several times. We're like, praise God, praise God. He goes out that day. He comes back the next day. How are you doing? Man, I was showing all the students at Rhema. I was showing them I couldn't do this before, and now I could do that. We said, okay, guess what? We're going to take it farther today. And so we lay hands on the man, And I'm standing behind him, because some people fall down when the Spirit of God touches them. So I'm standing behind him, my hand is on his back, and just agreeing in prayer. And then we begin to hear this pop, 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 pop. And he goes, "Do you guys hear that?" He goes, "It feels like there's popcorn. It feels like there's popcorn in my bones." And we're like, "Wow, yeah, I can hear that. That's amazing." So I got my hand on his back, and then we hear this brrrr, all the way up his spine. And I could feel it under my hand, popping against my hand. He goes, "Did you hear that?" I said, "I felt that." God was completely, miraculously healing and restructuring everything that had been crushed. God put it all back together. Complete restored mobility, complete movement now by the Spirit of God. In 3 days, this guy's life was overhauled. And then after that, he gets laid out in the Spirit. He's just laying on the floor. We're like sitting in the room, and it is just a heavy presence of God in the room. Thank you, Jesus. Just sitting there, just kind of quiet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he's laying on the floor, and he just starts going, "God, I surrender to you again. God, I want everything that you have for me. God, my answer is yes, Lord. If you still want me to go into the ministry, Lord, whatever you want me to do, God, you have my yes, Lord. You have my heart." He had surrendered his life to the plan of God again when he was irritated and bitter and frustrated for years because of a pain. And maybe some of you have dealt with pains and disappointments in your life. Maybe some of you have felt, maybe not crushed by a horse, but crushed by life circumstances, crushed by disappointment, crushed by the loss of a loved one, crushed by financial pressure or the loss of a job. Maybe you felt rejected from your family or rejected from friendships. Maybe you feel isolated and alone, and you wonder, what is the call of God for my life? You're saying I'm salt and light, but who wants to hear anything I have to say? I feel like I'm without worth and without purpose. I'll tell you, you need to get into this Word of God. I got a couple minutes left with you. Let's go ahead and practice some meditation, all right? Let's go ahead and open up to Zephaniah 3:17. Did you know that Zephaniah is in the Bible? Yes. A lot of people don't know about that book. It's a good one, though. I love this scripture. Zephaniah 3:17. Let's see. NLT is good. "For the Lord your God is living among you." We know Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what you do. This is how we were taught. There's a lot of different ways to meditate. But when I was at Rhema and they taught me in the Prayer and Healing Center, they said, first read the scripture all the way through. And then go back and then read it again and take your time. And he goes, my leader, Harlan Jacobs, he would say, "What you want to find the mine that's in there. You want to step on these mines and you want it to explode in your spirit." Like a good thing. So he would say, you want to read it through, see where the Spirit of God is pointing out to you, because as you're meditating, be aware of God in you speaking. Be aware of the Spirit of God who wants to share truth with you. "For the Lord your God is living among you." Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to read it through all the way. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful song." And then you just kind of talk to the Lord about it. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are living among me. Lord, that you are living in me. Thank you, Lord, that you are Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord, that you are not far away, but you are near, God. Thank you, Lord, you are close to the brokenhearted. Lord, your ears are attentive to their cry. Thank you, Lord, you are near me. You are not far away from me, and you have not rejected me. He is mighty. He is a mighty Savior. Thank you, Jesus. You are my Savior. You are my Savior and you are my Lord. You did not just save my soul from hell, Lord. You have saved me completely and entirely. You have touched every aspect of my life, Lord. Thank you that you are the Savior in my marriage. Thank you, you are the Savior in my friendships. Thank you are my Savior in my finances, God. Thank you are my Savior and you have brought me into a place of peace and joy, Lord. You are the Savior of my soul so that I don't have to have fear and worry. I live with a mighty Savior. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that you delight in me with gladness. Thank you, Lord, I am your child, and you are a loving father, and you delight in me, God. You delight in me. You don't just put up with me. You're not annoyed with me. You're not frustrated with me, God. But I thank you that you delight in me. You delight in me because you are my Father and you brought me into your family. You know all the good I've done and you know all the bad and still you love me. Thank you, Jesus, you love me. Thank you, God, you delight in me. And thank you, Lord, that with your love, you calm all my fears. All my fears have to go. I thank you. Your perfect love drives out all fear. Hallelujah. I am not afraid because you love me. I am not afraid because you are with me. Thank you, mighty God. All fear has to go. I will not have anxiety about anything because the love of my God drives out all fear. Hallelujah. I look to the future with hope and with joy because my God loves me, because he is with me. Mighty God, I invite you to wrap your arms around me as your child. I invite you, Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. Come comfort me. Come hold me in your presence. Come show me the goodness of my God. Show me what I'm missing. Let me see you as you are. How much you love me, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you rejoice over me with joyful song. You rejoice over me with singing. You sing over me, God, because you love me. Because you love me, you sing over me. Let me hear your song, God. Let me hear of your goodness and your love, God. Let me hear the plans that you have for me, plans for good and not for evil, to give me a hope and a future, God. I thank you, Lord, that you sing over me. I thank you that you delight in me. I thank you that you are my mighty Savior. And I thank you that you are near to me, God. I invite you into every area of my life because I trust you and I place my full confidence in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is how God is. He rejoices over you with singing. If you are feeling heavy-hearted, if you're feeling broken, if you're feeling tormented, if you're feeling shame, come to the Father. Come to him. Look in his word and find out what he says about you, because he is wild about you. He loves you so much. He sent his one and only son to die for you, to give his life, to pour it out for you. He rejoices over you with singing. He's not afraid of your sin. He's not scared away by your faults, but he doesn't want you to remain in them. He wants to pull you out of them as if they were miry clay, and he wants to set your feet upon a rock. He wants to restore you and build you up, and guess what? He wants to shine through you to the world around you. Can somebody thank God today? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen.